You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good evening, good morning, whenever you are consuming this, good whatever that is, afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, weekend, weekday. Hi, welcome to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network and on DK Pittsburgh Sports Pirates YouTube page. My name is Alex Stone, if you know me, and everyone should know you if they've listened to the show.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Jared Prugar. I cover the Altoona Courier for the Altoona Mirror, and I used to be a proud writer for the site. I heard that Eddie wasn't going to be on this week's show, so I decided to show my beard. They needed a bearded fellow to talk baseball, and Alex literally drove to Altoona, kidnapped me, and now we are upstairs somewhere at some random place. So,
yeah, howdy. Howdy. It's a little more pronounced, the beard.
Yeah, it's, I mean, nice.
You've had it pretty much ever since I've known you, but this is, you're getting a little more mountain man-y.
Yeah, and I'm trying to emulate Matt Eichelman, knuckle baller for the Altoona Curve, but you know, I'm very superstitious, so I get my haircut one time before baseball season starts. We're in the middle of a playoff run. We're playing for the district championship, and we're already in the state playoffs. So I'm a little nervous because I have high school graduation. I'm not personally graduating. I as a high school teacher, I am working it, so I got to look presentable. So I'm a little nervous about that, but at the same time, I'm ready for it to go. It's a lot. I know you get your hair long every year. I have my beard long because I'm thinning up top. But at the same time, I'm very excited for it to go and not be feeding three different people whenever. I think there's a bird that actually lives in here.
It's not quite an Eddie beard.
No, I don't have that patience. My wife would murder me.
There we go. So, I made the trip out to Altoona. Figured this is the perfect opportunity just to talk some Altoona Curve baseball because Pirates still haven't won a series in May. So let's see how long we could keep pushing that off of having to really dive into the major league team because it's not going great right now. But the Curve, couple really interesting players. Justice De Los Santos and I went into depth about Henry Davis last week. I'm going to have an article about that, you know, on the site. Check that out. Sooner rather than later. Don't know what day yet. So we're going to look past him. And I want to focus on someone who's just been absolutely crushing the ball lately to bat leadoff. The leadoff hitter, Leover Peguero, who I don't know if he had a hit tonight.
He did. He did have a hit.
He did have a hit. Okay. He barreled up a couple balls. Like, beautiful. He should have had two or three, you know, on the night. Like, he's crushing the baseball right now.
Right. And so he didn't start the year off very well. And you can read, I have a feature coming out on Peguero and this in the Altoona Mirror tomorrow, but he didn't start the year off very well, but he was hitting the ball hard. It was a lot of atom balls. So it was right at people and they were making plays. And when that happens, you kind of get a little defeated, right? You're just, when are you due? But what I was impressed with is his walk rate and his strikeout rate, which are both much improved from last year. And it's something that he struggled with when he came back from Pittsburgh. When he got called up to the Pirates, but he's becoming it's a different Peguero in a good way. Last year, he was the joking guy. He was kind of like the yin to Nick Gonzalez's yang. Well, now he has to be the guy. He's the experienced guy, you know, himself, Brad Case, I think on a pitching staff. And you got Drew Maggi or guys, you know, that have been there, done that. But as far as position players with him and Maggi, you know, they've been to the majors. They know what it's like. And that's important for guys like Henry Davis to know what it's like to be there. because eventually he's going to be there. Let's be real. I don't know if that's going to be tomorrow, Sunday, whenever.
Sometime in June, probably.
Yeah, sometime relatively soon he'll be in Pittsburgh, and I don't think it's just to get a sandwich. I think it's going to be for the real deal. But Peguero is seeing the ball well. He's hitting the ball hard. He's not missing very many barrels, but he's bringing an added element to the speed game. And his defense is improving too, which I think is a big, big factor for him.
Yeah. I want to touch on something that you said with in reference to Nick Gonzalez, who the first 2 years in pro ball, and, you know, in 2020, mm-hmm. whenever there was the alternate training site in Altoona, those two have been, you know, really close friends. They've been together, and this is the first year that they've been separated. And I'm wondering if that's not a good thing. Not saying that one's, you know, a negative influence on the other. Like, I think they're both positive influences on both of them. But at some point, Peguero did not have a good year last year. And it's not surprising that he returned to Altoona. Now, I talked to him about it. It was just, you know, it was just fire for him. His, you know, motivation, mm-hmm. you know, like, get him ready. Like, you don't think I'm ready for Indianapolis? Okay, I'll show you. But I think splitting them up is probably the best thing for them to do because, like, I think some of the development that he has done this year is one of those ones that you have to be more introspective for. Just, you know, talking to him for a little bit today, like what he's looking to do with the plate. It seems like a much more mature approach mm-hmm. at the plate. You know, he's maturing as a hitter. He's maturing as a fielder, as a ball player, as you say. I left pretty impressed with how he, you know, has conducted himself these last couple weeks after, especially whenever you consider he got off to a really bad start and he's pretty much erased that over these last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. He's raised his batting average up 47 points just since May 10th.
It's pretty good.
He's hitting the ball hard. He's finding gaps and he's hitting with power. He's got 4 homers and he's got, he's hit safely in 12 of the 14 games since May 10th. So that is when that happens, you know, obviously things are going very well. But like I said, it's the clubhouse atmosphere that I think that his leadership and his talents are being used more. Last year, he mentioned when I talked with him about being like more the class clown, the guy that made everybody laugh. Mm-hmm. And when you're there are different dynamics in the clubhouse, and rightfully so. But for him, coming in here, he's a much more tour guy and much more mature. And I think that's huge. And it's exactly what the curve need because they are still relatively young as far as experience goes at this level. But at the same time, there are guys that need to get to the majors and that will get to the majors, both on the staff and out in the field. But Peguero is a guy that I think if he continues trending the way that he's trending, he could also make a name for himself. And I think you mentioned the Gonzalez-Peguero tandem. I think it's the same thing that we saw with Rodolfo Castro and O'Neill Cruz just a couple years ago as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good comparison also to put in there. Something else about Peguero that's interesting. I had to Google to make sure he's played shortstop this year because it feels like every time I've checked in on the guy, he's played second. And yeah, he's actually played majority shortstop. Mm-hmm. So it's just a heck of a coincidence.
All you had to do is talk to the local guy, the Altoona Mirror.
I asked the people in the press box and they're like, I'm like, you don't know if he was playing shortstop or not.
You didn't ask me.
Come on, that was before you were there.
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
Yeah.
That's a simple text away. He did lure me into this by offering me a curve burger, and then here I am on the podcast to be named later.
Yes.
But no, and that's the good thing too with Gonzalez being gone is he's playing a little bit of short, he's playing a little bit of second base.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge because you see the ball differently based on what part of the diamond you're on. Mm-hmm. But that's him being able to have that range that a shortstop needs to have. He has the arm strength. It's just about being able to corral that and just make better decisions. And I think that was one of the things. You know, he's trying to be the hero a lot of times playing defense, make those web gems and do the sexy plays when he just needs to be subtle and it just needs to make the play. It doesn't have to be sexy. It doesn't have to be this highlight reel type play. It's just got to be made. And I think that's the biggest thing for him. And if he's able to do that, then I think he can see himself in Pittsburgh as well again.
I'm a little surprised whenever I asked, have you experimented with any other positions, like even practice? Like, there hasn't been any third base, there hasn't been any outfield. I can't shake the feeling that we're not going to see him in the outfield or something in the future. No plans for it right now, though.
No, and I think the middle infield is right where he needs to be.
I think he has. I know some eyes are going to roll to the back of the heads. I think him in particular, he's the type of player that needs to be defensively versatile. He needs to be able to get his bat in the lineup a couple different ways because I'll just say it. If Henry Davis has to learn right field, I think Pagiaro should too.
Right. And I think there's a numbers game there too. You know, we were talking about that after the game today, or Friday night, you know, is where are they going to put some of these outfielders? It's loaded in Altoona. So you're worried about those reps. But right now, he can get those everyday reps at shortstop or second base. He's playing rather well. Just keep it rolling and keep what's working. And that's, he's athletic enough to play in the outfield, play a corner spot, I think. But for the time being, I think right where he needs to be is probably second base on the right side of the field. Because as much as I think he could be a good shortstop, I think he needs to focus on that second base aspect of it a little bit more too.
We're going to take a break here for a little bit, run some ads. We'll be right back. We've got a whole roster to go through, dude.
I can't wait.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Now, how many times did you hear me say that?
Well, through the years? Does it count? Like the times you messed up? Because I've heard about it.
Okay.
100,000 times.
100 something. Yeah, yeah. It's just muscle memory in my head anymore. I want to talk a little bit of pitching here for the second segment here, because there's a couple guys who I'm really impressed with. You know, just watching from afar, checking in how they're doing. And a lot of them are in the bullpen. Like Travis McGregor is someone that I know he was a minor league free agent and he came back. I know he went to Indianapolis push and it didn't go well last year, but I really like what he's doing with the fastball right now. And I'm wondering if this guy's a sleeper, you know, to, you know, reach the major league bullpen, because there are a couple guys in this, you know, in this group, like Toribio. I wrote about him, you know, for the first in the system of the year. Tyler I can't say it. I can't say his name. I am so bad. Too many syllables.
Sam Maniego. It's like, it sounds like ham and eggs, but salmon.
It doesn't sound anything like ham and eggs.
Anyway. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There are a couple guys
that are good. Cam Junker is, I think, a guy that could end up in the major league level. I don't know if that's going to be this year, but I think down the road, maybe in a year, year and a half, I think that's an option for him. But yeah, the bullpen is pretty strong, and you didn't see that tonight against the Hartford Yard Goats, which
stupid name for a team. That's up there. That's up there, along with like the Portland Pickles and the who are the Shell Suckers,
El Paso Chihuahuas.
That's pretty bad.
But all weird names aside, it's just one of those deals where, you know, McGregor's a guy that, you know, COVID hurt him, mm-hmm. because he was coming off of Tommy John, coming off of that surgery. In 21, he was in Altoona and did okay, right? Goes to Indy. It doesn't go too well. Now he's back in Altoona. He's got the fastball command there. He's got the plus off speed now. And I think if you can work that in, and when he's on, man, he is on. And that's a good thing to have. And he's obviously grinded. I mean, you can say that about everybody, but this is a guy that dealt with injury when it is a free agent. The Pirates still wanted him. He signed. Could have gone elsewhere, I'm sure. But they know what they've got in him. He knows what the Pirates have in mind for him. So it's a really good thing for him to see what's next and to see if he can get back to that form that can get him to AAA.
Yeah, and I guess just moving on to the starting pitchers, then I've been high on the Jared Jones train for a while. And I know the results aren't all the way here, but I had a really good talk with Henry Davis. He's really on board with like what Jared Jones is doing. He's got the stuff. He's got the competitive edge. He's got a lot of what you want. This guy's a big leaguer in the future, not so distant future. Maybe not 2023, but like 2024. I'm expecting to see this guy, you know, get called up.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great first name. He spells it a little differently, which is okay, I guess. He spells it like the jewelry store. But no, and his stuff plays. And that's what's so hard about looking at records and looking at stats, because I don't think they're a great indicator early in the season. We're still in late May. So we've had April, we've had May. So for a starter, the sample size is gradually getting bigger, but at the same time, it doesn't tell the whole story. But his stuff is going to play, and I think he's going to be a guy that could end up eventually being a starter in the big leagues, if not a top-end reliever.
Yeah, and I mean, the obvious, you want that to be a starter. And it comes down to the breaking stuff for me, really, with him. Whenever you look at the slider, you look at the curveball, it's like, are you a three-pitch guy? Are you a four-pitch guy? Are you a two-pitch guy? And you're going to go into the bullpen. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that. I think he has the breaking stuff to stay in the rotation. I mean, the fastball is upper 90s.
That'll play.
That'll play out of the bullpen if it comes down to it. But it's how do you use the rest of your stuff. I think he's learning it better. Henry Davis, like I said, read the story in a little bit. It was very complimentary about how he has grown as a pitcher. I think there's kind of low-key a lot riding on a guy like him, because I look at a Priester, Luis Ortiz, and a Mike Burrows. You know, Burrows is on the IL. He's not going to come back until probably late next year. As like, okay, here comes the starting pitching depth that you have, but I don't see a whole lot of high upside guys, you know, outside of that. I think Jared Jones is one of those guys, or the high upside guys are like in Greensboro, mm-hmm. I guess I should say, like we're talking the Bubba Chandlers and the Anthony Salabettos at that point. So it's, you need another big arm in there. And I think he has one of the biggest arms in this system.
Yeah. And he's a guy that I think is going to fly under the radar too. Everybody's going to talk about Priester. Everybody's talking about Burrows, you know, up until he got hurt, and everybody's eyes are going to be on Chandler, but it's a guy that's going to, I think, fly under the radar, which is exactly what I think is necessary. Is that guy just like burst on the radar, like Mike Burrows did. Like we, up until COVID, we had him on our podcast, right?
Yes, we did.
When he was kind of not a lesser known name. Now, you know, Burrows was a top guy up until he got hurt, and it's unfortunate, and, you know, we wish him well. But it's just one of those deals where now Jared Jones, he's going to benefit from that, I think, in the long run. But if he's able to maximize that potential and get to – I would expect him to get to Indy probably late June, early July, if things are happening the way that they are now. And that's going to speak volumes to the type of skill and type of talent that he has. But it is fun to watch him every week in Altoona.
Who are we not paying enough attention to, Jared? Who is this guy that I'm just – you get to see this team, you know, basically every day. Who am I?
I think it's two guys right now. I think Sean Solomon is a guy. And, you know, he's now getting that second start in the series. Yeah. So I think that is huge. But at the same time, you know, I like Kyle Nicholas. I don't think that he's going to be a major league starter, but I think he's going to be a major league reliever. He hasn't quite stretched it out yet. I mean, he's getting to six innings. But he's a guy that's kind of dialed it back in now that he's only getting one start a week, which I think is huge for him and his development.
Yeah. Nicholas is someone that Cale Johnson, the pitching coach, told me really likes how he's improved, you know, moving his body. I kind of really like Sullivan. I probably should have talked to him while I was up here. Like, there's just I don't know. I kind of really like what he brings, you know, to the table. It's not the biggest stuff. It's not he's not going to be a top 100 prospect, but I don't know. The overall body of work, I can dig it.
No, absolutely. And I think that's huge. You know, and I think we go back to the Greg Maddux, right? Greg Maddux is all about command. If you can locate, you're going to have a lot of success. And for Sullivan, I think that is huge. Because you're right. He doesn't have necessarily blow it by you stuff. He's not going to ramp it up. but he is going to do just enough to get it past you. And he has that type of capability. So I think that is huge for him. But having that command, having that ability to control the strike zone is a huge, huge plus for him down the road.
We're going to take one more break. Whenever we come back, we got a little more show. Welcome back to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later. Jared, since we last did this, refresh my memory, we did this right before the minor league season, right?
Yes, if not right after the start of it.
Okay.
It feels like it was just yesterday, but it's been a little bit.
It's been a little bit. We had the dizzying highs of the Pirates being 20-8. They're on a pretty crummy run right now.
The curse of the Magi.
Yeah. Depending on how this game Friday goes, we're recording on Friday night. We don't know how it goes. Pirates could technically be 500. If not, they're barely keeping their heads above it right now. I need a revised prediction from you. What is this team going to finish on the end of the year? Now, knowing what we know now about a third of the way through the year.
I would like to say 85 and 77. I think that's going to do.
That might be a playoff team.
Yeah. In the end. I almost said the NFL. This isn't a football podcast, but the NL Central, I think, is up for grabs. I don't think any team is going to run away from it. So if they can keep, and they still haven't played half the division. So that is, you know, that's going to be a big thing down the road here for the Pirates.
Yeah. It's, I think they need to play some of these divisional games. The American League has not treated them well. It's been rough of late, but I still see them as 70 something. Even with the benefit of knowing everything that we know now, I wouldn't be shocked if they do get hot again. And because we know this team, whenever it clicks, it is one of the best teams in baseball. It has that in it.
Yeah.
And maybe they could unlock that again for another 20, 30 game stretch. We'll see. They're just too inconsistent. They're too raw. They're too Henry Davises and Altuna right now, instead of helping out the major league team. There's a lot of stuff like that that,
but I think, you know, initially they made do without O'Neill Cruz, but that loss is proving to be huge time and time again now. And I think that is huge down the road. But it's going to be one of those situations where when they get back, I'm expecting them to go on a little bit of a mini run, if not an extended run. And I think that's going to be kind of the catalyst into the second half of the season, or the second, third, last quarter of the season, I should say, depending on when he's back. But, you know, you want to see Henry Davis not in Altoona. I mean, I love seeing him play there. Obviously, that's a little selfish of me, but I get to write about him, so that makes my life a little easier as a writer. But I think, you know, he has the skill set to play in Pittsburgh. He has the hit, everything we talked about. He can hit the ball. That's not the issue. It's the intangibles. It's and the mental makeup of him, I think, is major league ready. It's just, I think, the physical component of calling a game, handling a pitching staff, and just working defensively, mechanically, and those sorts of things that are kind of holding him back. I don't want to say holding him back, because I don't think they're really physically holding him back. It's just once he masters that, he's going to be ready, and Pittsburgh's got to watch out.
Yeah. We're going to close with a comment from Connor Williams here on YouTube. Kutch's June will carry us to salvation. That'd be the most vintage Kutch thing.
Anyway. Yeah, talk about a guy that loves baseball again. Yes. Right. He's smiling. Oh, he's having fun. And I think people feed off that energy. Right. Like that is, I think, the biggest thing. And I think that's, for me, is as long as he stays healthy and things are going their way, why I think that they'll have that winning season and potentially make the playoffs. This is a guy that wants to be in Pittsburgh. He wants to win in Pittsburgh, knows what it takes to win in Pittsburgh. And that's exactly what this team needed coming into the season. He knows what it takes with this ownership group. He knows what it takes as a member of the Pirates organization. He's a guy that's going to be the catalyst moving forward the rest of the season. Him, Cruz, Hayes, and I think Reynolds are going to be key cogs. And then, you know, the hope is obviously Davis here in the next month or so.
We're going to end on that note. of Kutch's June resurgence. Thank you, Jared Prugar, for coming back on the show. You know you're going to be, you know, popping up again.
Always, man. I'm always available for the podcast to be named later.
Yeah. Well, and if you would like to hear more podcasts be named later, Eddie's going to be on. He doesn't get 3 weeks off in a row.
Well, if he does.
If he does.
You know who to call.
I'll go through more of my beat writer connections here. So, Jared Prugar, read his stuff in the Altoona Mirror. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. We'll talk again next week.